Yeah, told him one time.
One time.
Took a lot of time, but we here. One time.
One time.
Said it never happened. We here, so
what?
Line them up.
Two.
Line them up.
Three.
One time.
Hey, this is VOC's John Dwyer, and you're listening to KTSW.
San Marcos.
Coming at you live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio.
MVP.
Yeah,
Jose Altuve. Well deserved, bud.
We actually have Jose Altuve joining the show. I'm just kidding.
He's right here.
Man, maybe one of those days. Actually, I can't find him. Where is he at?
One of those days.
Oh, no. He's wearing Harry Potter's invisibility cloak today.
That's right. He's here, but we're 100%. Just not going to let him talk.
No,
sorry, Jose.
We don't want him to tank anybody today.
Thank you, my family. Okay, we better stop making fun of him.
We're not going to make fun of him.
I love the guy.
Best player in the world.
Best player in the world by far.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close. No one even came close second. I can't even think of another guy.
Voting-wise, that's true.
I can't even think of another player that would even come close to being deserving of MVP, to be honest with you. In the AL, doesn't ring a bell. But anyway, moving on. Parker A, Reed Graff, Alex Gibbs, all here in the studio, jamming out, having some fun. There's been some better music. I kind of like it. KTSW is really
stepping it up. Yeah, we got Reed over here wanting to play Christmas music. It's too early.
Well, I am all for Christmas music.
The holidays start October 1st.
Not until after Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
The holidays start October 1st.
Okay.
I'm that guy.
Okay, we're getting out of hand. Getting out of hand here. All right, well, we do have a lot of audio to play. We have some student body president audio from the very own KTSW news department. Connor Clegg spoke with Aaron Durton. And Riley Chestnut made it into a rap, so we're going to get to that in just a minute. But guys, I just want to say, first off, how are you guys doing today? How you guys feeling about this Friday show? You guys ready?
I'm feeling pretty good.
It's Friday. I'm always feeling good.
TGIF.
TGIF. All right. Well, guys, I think we should just dive right in. This is what Connor Clegg had to say about the student fan attendance here at Texas State.
Texas State head coach Everett Withers has been working to build this program from the ground up since day one. An overhaul like this takes time. Time that will see the team struggle to attract fans. With the Bobcats filling out less than 15,000 seats in their final three home games this year, Texas State student body president Connor Clegg and his representatives are working to keep the fan base engaged.
We come up with these flashy ideas like, you know, the tuition giveaways or the walking people through the tailgate lots and stuff like that. At the end of the day, it comes down to numbers. Down to the scoreboard. So that's how we're going to have to get people in the stadium is by starting to win games and gain reputation.
There were some solid crowds for the Bobcats this year, with the I-35 rivalry game attracting the fourth largest crowd in Bobcat Stadium history with over 31,000 attendees. For now, though, the students will have to find hope for the future while embracing the present progress being made. Riley Chestnut, KTSW Sports.
All right, thank you, Riley. It's like he's right here in the room with us. But he's not, but it's like that. Anyway, so, guys, what'd you have to say about, the student body president? That was a short little statement on fan attendance. And how do you think he responded to that? Do you think he responded the right way? It's all about the scoreboard is what he made it sound like to me.
I think he said the things he was allowed to say. I mean, he can't. I think
he said the things that wouldn't get him in trouble.
Exactly. I've been on the show every week. Every time we talk about attendance, I get myself in trouble by saying something really dumb.
Well, when you're in any kind of office like that, almost anything you can say will get you in trouble.
Yeah, and he talked about how they've done little things to try and get people into the stands, and we all appreciate that. But there is some truth to what he said. What it's going to get people in the stands is victories, is wins, because none of them actually understand how sports work. But that's besides the point.
they don't understand.
And there's my get myself in trouble statement of the day.
Oh, yeah, but they don't understand what a rebuilding phase
exactly.
means.
Exactly.
They want to go ahead and scrap the whole football program altogether. Which
that was a dumb article.
Yeah,
which is just silly.
He's absolutely right in saying that, yeah, wins and the scoreboard, like, that's what's going to get people to come to the stadium. That's what's going to get people in the stands. He's definitely right about that.
Yeah.
However, their marketing for some of these games, I think, could be better. Like, for example, I know we had a great crowd for the UTSA rivalry game. But, again, like I said, months ago, actually, we didn't see any beat UTSA shirts. We didn't see, I mean, I heard of, like, a pep rally or whatever in the quad. But that was all I heard about you know, like pumping up for the UTSA game. And that's my point. Like, there should be pump for every single one of these games. Because it's college football in the state of Texas. I mean, I know some other sports are pretty popular in the state of Texas, with baseball, among others, college basketball, you know, NBA, whatever. Well, but, I mean, college football down here is pretty huge when you got, like, UT right up the road. You got A&M across the way. You got a couple other schools. So you would think that they would try to do their best to really pump up the students.
And I know, I mean, I won't
fall down here.
We all have friends that live here in San Marcos, go to Texas State, and much rather go to an A&M game, and they do, and much rather go down the road to Austin, and they do. They go to UT games, they go to A&M games, and they still consider themselves A&M fans and UT fans.
And again, it lies in two things. One, of course, it's gonna rely on wins. You have to win ball games, plain and simple. And then the other thing is you have to have a little bit better marketing. Like, hey, come to the game. Like, not just give them offers, but give them a good reason to come to the game. Like, oh, it's football season again. Come on to the game. Like, do a really good job. Like, those CAC camp counselors that I've talked about over and over again.
That does,
like,
pump you up. CAC camp does pump you up.
Yeah, it really pumps you up. They need to get guys like that involved with their football program, involved with advertising, you know, with anything to do with that, so that people can get pumped to go to these football games. Because otherwise, I'll be honest, in my short time here at Texas State, I mean, I haven't been very pumped to go to a football game, except maybe the Houston game last year and then the UTSA game this year. That's
honestly
it.
Social media has done a much better job pumping up games than marketing. Because I think that's just how it is now.
And marketing should be using social media. That's whole part of it. But we can talk about how the marketing needs to do better and wins. It comes down to the fans need to be fans. Okay.
And either you support a team or you don't.
Exactly. And obviously this university is not sport, it's football team.
It's not
depressing.
It's not an athletic heavy university. I mean, you look around, not a lot of people know.
I disagree with that statement, because I think the crowd at UTSA, the UTSA Texas State basketball game,
but that's
was sold out.
Small percentage of people actually know what's going on compared to the 40,000 that go here, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah,
like,
but
there's a small percentage of fans. You go to other schools, even if they're not basketball people or football people, they still know who A&M's playing. They still know what's going on. You know, stuff like that.
And let's also remember that Texas State is also, I mean, they're getting better, like, you know, like in basketball and football, they're obviously rebuilding, but they really, I think the biggest problem here is they really need to build a winning culture here. If you can build a winning culture with tradition,
in the football team,
of course it starts with football, but with the team and with the fans and in pumping them up for every single game, win or lose, no matter what, if you can build a strong foundation like that, then that's when there really is nowhere to go but up, because that's when it helps with coaching, that's when it helps with recruiting, that's when it helps with winning games, that helps with all kinds of different stuff.
Well, guys, I actually want to go ahead and get, we'll go back to football, obviously, but I want to go ahead and get your you guys' thoughts on last week's game, where the free throw was kind of a problem. Of course, we're going to have Coach Karen Chisholm calling in a little bit. But this is what Coach Danny Casper, men's basketball, said about the tough 79-78 loss, and kind of what he was talking about with free throw trouble, which has been a trouble for him a lot lately.
No. I mean, basically, guys got to get up there. And I have one drill I do. Most of these guys, look at how many free throws they shot, with the exception of Marlon Davis. I mean, and Tyler. Tyler got some bunch because they fouled him. But during the course of a game, kids will rarely shoot more than four free throws. So we only do one thing in practice. I do a pressure situation. The gym is deathly quiet, and we have one team against the other. And if you lose, you have to do some running. If you don't shoot at least 70% as a team, you have to do more running. If you miss, I don't know how you did on your free throws, you could even do more running or less running. And, you know, free throw situation is really an individual thing. Tyler stepped up there and hit those two free throws with no problem before he missed the last two free throws.
Yeah, so of course he was talking about Tyler Blunt, had a great 22-point performance but was terrible from the line down the stretch. Ended up costing the team the game. Of course, a lot of people miss free throws. But guys, real quick, Reed, what do you think about the free throw problem with this team? We'll hit on it later, but what is your number one assumption from the game against UTSA?
I know we could have played better defensively. That's what Alex is going to get at. But the reason we lost that game against UTSA was because we cannot consistently make the free throws. They were just fouling us out, putting us at the line, because they knew we wouldn't. There was a good chance we weren't going to make them. And That's how you blow a 10-point lead in the last minute and a half, is you just miss your free throws. Simple as that, and that's why we lost that game against UTSA, and it's something that it's got to be addressed.
Well, it's always a major problem with a lot of college basketball teams, especially if they're younger. You know, you have to step up and make free throws. Now, with the exception of Texas State, though, they have players for training. They have players that have played in big moments. They should have been able to step up and make those free throws. Now, you can say that you're going to do all the running drills that you want, but as far as I'm concerned, if you really want it, I have to see those players in the gym, in practice, working on their free throws because they want to make those free throws in those big game moments. It shouldn't be, oh, I got to make these free throws or we're going to do more running. No, I have to see the will. I have to see the sacrifice. I got to see how bad do you really want it. How early do you show up to practice? 2-3 hours working to just work on drills or to shoot free throws and just constantly, constantly, constantly work at it. I mean, I know last year they were at what, in the 60s of free throws?
66%.
Yeah, 66%. All right. You should strive for better.
No, you're right, Alec, and we'll hit on that more later on. But we're gonna hit a break here. But first, I want to tell you guys about the University Bookstore. Bobcat Radio is sponsored by the University Bookstore. Located on the second floor of the LBJ Student Center, the University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. More info at bookstore.txstate.edu or at 245-2273. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we have head coach of the volleyball team, Karen Chisholm, on the line. You're listening to KTSW San Marcos.
I don't feel so good. I think I'm coming down with something.
Better take yourself to the Texas State Student Health Center.
Are you kidding? I can't afford those crazy medical bills.
No worries. The Student Health Center provides quality medical care to Texas State students at an affordable price. You can even schedule your appointment on the same day.
But what if I don't have health insurance?
No insurance is needed to receive the Student Health Center services. For hours and to make an appointment, visit healthcenter.txstate.edu. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
KTSW, my favorite station to listen to. Hey, KTSW, the other side of radio. They got sports, they got news, they got specialty shows, anything goes. Hey, KTSW, I want you to know that I love you. Hey, KTSW, the other side of radio.
All right. We are back here live in San Marcos, Texas, in the KTSW studios, and we have head coach Karen Chisholm on the line. Coach, how you doing today?
Good morning. Just got in from my walk, and it is nippy up here and windy. Probably about 50 degrees and a north wind, so
oh, we're jealous.
Kind of good, actually.
We're jealous.
Feels kind of good. It still feels like spring here right now.
You're probably up in Jonesboro. Yeah,
you're probably more used to that more warm weather down here though. But that being said, Coach, I guess you're down there. You guys flew in. I'm assuming you guys were able to watch a few matches. What can you tell me about just the atmosphere up there in Jonesboro and how your team's looking to get into action tomorrow night?
Well, you're absolutely right. We flew into Memphis yesterday. Got in about 12 o'clock, and we went by the University of Memphis facility, and we practiced there, and then got over here about 4 o'clock. Went up to the facility, the Convocation Center. It's a very nice facility, and watched the 5 o'clock and the 7:30 games. And, guys, if y'all haven't noticed, but the underdogs won in both of them. The number 7 seed beat the number 6 seed, which was Appalachian State beating UTA. And then number 8, Troy, upset South Alabama. So that's what this time of the year is all about. See who's playing their best volleyball. Hopefully that's going to be the Bobcat. But we did get to witness that. So now, today, we're going to leave here about 1 o'clock. We've got practice over there at 1:30. I know yesterday's practice, the kids are in great moods. They're loose. They're ready to play. We've been pretty consistent the last 3 weeks, I would say. We'll kind of touch up on some things today for about 45 minutes. And then the good one at 5 o'clock is going to be University of Louisiana Lafayette playing Appalachian State, and that's who we will play tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Reed Graff here, Coach. You talked about who's playing their best volleyball. Texas State's coming in pretty hot. They've been winning a lot lately. They're obviously coming off winning the division. So what are your expectations going into tomorrow's game? And you mentioned how they're feeling fresh. How do you think your players are going to perform this week?
Well, you know, I have a lot of confidence in them. Our seniors, Aaron Hoppe and Jalea Bolden, have done a great job of keeping everyone focused. Aaron particularly being a great leader on the court. I feel pretty confident, I'm going to tell you that. I think we're relaxed. We've tried to keep the pressure off of them. It's what we've told them, no matter what's going to happen. We've had a great season. We'd like to continue to going forward. I think the term I use most in practice, you're this close. You're very, very close to earning that championship and that conference championship ring, but we're still a long way to go. You know, I mean, you can smell it. We can't taste it yet, but it's in the air. And we've just got to focus on one match at a time, and I think that's the key right there.
It's like that turkey in the oven on Thanksgiving. You're just waiting for it to be ready.
We're a bunch of hungry guys here, Coach.
You're ready for that.
I hear you.
Anyways, Coach, Alex Gibbs here. Great to talk to you again. You mentioned earlier how there was a bunch of upsets, of course, with Appalachian State and with you know, a bunch of others. I have to ask, because it's always crazy in tournament time and this time of year, what's been the main focus in practice this week, knowing that even though you guys are the number two seed, you still have to out-hustle and earn every victory from here on out?
You're absolutely right. Our focus all week long has been this: high efficiency, low error. And there have been two matches this year that we were extremely high error, and I say that we've got 28 hitting errors the first time we played Louisiana, and they beat us. The second time we had 9 hitting errors. So as long as we're in control and we're trying to tell the Bobcats that, you know, if you don't have that perfect set or it's not the shot you want, just keep it in play. You know, give us a chance to play defense, because I think our back row, what we call our little ones, our DSs, defensive specialists, have done a great job keeping the ball off the forward. So let's just regroup. We'll dig it up. We go again. So, again, high efficiency, low error, I think, is the key to winning this thing this weekend.
All right, Coach, I know you said Louisiana is obviously on the radar, and, of course, Appalachian State, those two teams, it's going to come down to them. I think it would just be fitting to see Louisiana play Texas State again one more time. It would be a best of three. These teams have met two other times prior. What are you thinking about that possible matchup and facing the same team for a third possible time in 1 year?
That's exactly what we are expecting. Unfortunately, for our side of the net, the kids feel pretty good because we swept them just a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't long ago. We know the team. Of course, they know us, too. And we tell our players in the locker room right before it goes out, again, it doesn't matter what they do. It's what we do on our side of the net. And if we take care of the ball, we have good, we win the serving passing game. That's the key to everything. We've got a high-powered offense. I'm going to tell you that. We've got some very good offensive players. If we take care of the ball and we pass the ball well, we're going to beat them.
All right,
that's
Coach.
The key to everything.
Sorry about that, Coach. Obviously, y'all are trying to bring back one more trophy this week, but I want to go ahead and ask you about some of the hardware y'all have already brought home. I mean, it takes me a couple minutes to read through all this. 4 first-team selections, 2 second-team selections, Setter of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Newcomer of the Year. I mean, what a great season so far for y'all. How gratifying is it for you seeing your players put in the hard work and get the results they're looking for?
I'm extremely pleased for them. You know, and again, it's all about these student-athletes. I would have been very disappointed had Aaron Hoppe not gotten Setter of the Year and Amy Fluhawk not gotten Newcomer of the Year. I expected Micah to get defending players because she led the conference in digs. So looking on paper, they deserve those. Our 4 all first team all conference, I was extremely excited about. I think Madison Daigle she's one of the top in this conference, has done a great job. So for her to get the recognition, extremely pleased. And then that goes along with, the other 3 I just mentioned. And then Megan Porter and Jalea Bolden pretty much rounded it out. And again, we're one of those teams. It's not about one person. When you look at Coastal Carolina, It is a one-person ball game. A very good one, Leah Hardiman, MVP of the conference. They set her probably 50 to 55 times a match. But we spread the ball out. So I'm really glad to see that the accolades were spread out. This is by far the most we've ever had, specialty awards and all conference. So excited about this group.
Hey, Coach, Alex Gibbs again. Can I ask you, is there a certain particular player that you've seen develop, grow, mm-hmm. and improve the most this season? And also, you know, what has it been like seeing some of these younger players maturing right in front of your eyes?
Well, that's the one I was going to talk about. She's the only one that was not recognized on the all-conference, and that's a freshman in the middle, number 8-3, Tierney Scott. She came in just wide-eyed. I mean, she didn't know what to expect in the college level. But she has really worked and improved tremendously, and as you know, she's a starter for us now, and she's led us in a couple of matches in the last couple of weeks. She's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future. But, you know, I've seen huge growth in Erin Hoppe. The maturity that she has had and shown this season has been great. Megan Porter has come a long way since her freshman year. I mentioned Madison Daigle. Her freshman year, she was the second team all-conference. Last year as a sophomore, she was coming back off of a shoulder surgery. Did not have a great year. And then she's rehabbed. She's back on top. She'll be a key player for us next year, as is a key player for us right now. So it's been fun to watch all of these young ladies. And another kid that doesn't get much recognition is Maddie Adams, and she's number 14. A defensive kid that comes in for Jaleah when Jaleah goes off the court. Maddie plays right side, and she's done a tremendous job. I mean, we've got 8 kids that have played a lot and have done very, very well. It's been a true team effort, I will tell you that much.
Coach, we are very proud of what your team is doing right now. And I was going to let you say one more thing before we let you go. What shout-out do you want to give to Bobcat Nation, before this weekend matchup kicks off?
Well, I tell you what, you were there Friday night. The crowd, the electricity in Strand Coliseum was electrifying. I hope everybody tunes in to ESPN3. Saturday at 5:00 to watch us, and then hopefully again Sunday at 2:00. But I want to say thank you to everybody out there in San Marcos and at Texas State for all of our Bobcat fans, because you know what? It's a great day to be a Bobcat.
All right, Coach. Stay warm over there, and good luck.
I'm planning on it.
Right.
You know, our football team's over here tomorrow also.
Oh, yes. We got a lot of things to talk about with them. Don't you worry.
Good. Well, encourage them to come over to us at 5:00 when they get off the field.
Yes, ma'am. We will. All right.
Okay. Thank you guys a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Those players better come to the game after. If you're listening to this, any football players, you better go support Coach Chisholm and support those Bobcats on the court, really close to winning a Sun Belt Conference title.
Talking to you, Tyler Watts. Go to the game, Tyler. Go to the game.
Oh, God. Well, we won't get
into
that.
He had a great game last week. Shout out to Tyler Watts.
I know, Alex, you had one more question, but we're actually buzzing through this show.
And, great show.
Great show so far. Great conversations. What did you guys take away from talking to Coach Chisholm? Just a quick takeaway.
Well, she's confident, so I'm confident. That's a coaching legend right there, Coach Karen Chisholm.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of my questions that we didn't get to. I was going to ask her where this team ranks among all her teams. It's got to be up there. I mean, they've broke records for the most awards.
I think early on she was with an interview with Alex, and she said this is one of her most impressive teams, at least up there.
Oh, yeah. She certainly mentioned time and time again how, you know, she didn't expect the performance and the dominance that she's seen out of this team this season. Like, nowhere. Like, she expected them to be good, but she didn't expect them to be as good as they are right now, being the number 2 seed in the Sun Belt Conference tournament.
Guys, there is one other women's team that's shown a lot of dominance right now, though.
Yeah, that's the women's basketball team. We'll get into that later. Of course, we have Taylor Deere calling in at 11:30 in about 6 minutes from now. But I want to run through real quick, more free throw troubles with the Texas State men's basketball team, of course. And I want to actually hit on Tyler Blunt. And he had a 22-point performance. But there was also some negative things that Coach Casper said about his performance as well. That being said, here's what Coach Casper had to say about Tyler Blunt.
Oh, I thought he hit some threes. He also hurt us there at the end on one of those switches. You know. And that's one reason why Tyler has not played a lot. turnovers in defense. In other words, when he's hitting his shots, everything's great. When he's not, it just seems to, what's the word? Snowball. And tonight he was hitting his shots, and I thought he played pretty good D too. Didn't have any turnovers, and that was big.
So some positives and some negatives there. What did you guys take away from Coach Casper talking about Tyler Blunt?
Well, he knows his players better than we do, and obviously Tyler Blunt, when he's at his best, is a very solid, explosive type of player. He's not very big, but he's explosive. He's quick.
He strikes me as kind of a J.R. Smith, the way he described him. If he's the hot hand, he can make good. But if it's bad,
he can really hurt you. I mean, like Coach said, he has struggles with turnovers and then defense. But hopefully he can get more consistent with that this year and be a force, because one of the things I saw at the UTSA game was, outside of Nigel Pearson, the Bobcats don't have any really good offensive players. I mean, Gurley impressed me. He did some things. Tyler Blunt really showed up offensively. They just need to get more offense. And I understand what Coach was saying. Blunt is capable of being a very great player, a very solid, exciting guy to watch when he's got it going right. If he's not making his shots, he can be a liability.
Yeah, and here's what I honestly think about this loss, to be very quite frank. Don't get me wrong. Free throws are the biggest thing to note. But my thing, because like we've mentioned on the show before, I mean, I grew up, you know, living in Kentucky. I'm very familiar with college basketball, just knowing how it all works. And something that can tell you from March Madness experience, just watching and just experiencing it, you have to be the better team in the final minutes. And that can be from free throws, that can be from turnovers, that can be from defensive switches. Like, if you switch defensively on a screen, you have to be able to stay on that man. You have to be able to have your arms up and be able to block that shot. Because if you just switch and give them that little bit of space, all they have to do is shoot the ball and it goes in. So that's, in my opinion, can you be the better team in the final minutes? That is what the difference was in this game. UTSA just was able to make clutch shots down the stretch. They fouled Texas State because they knew they probably wouldn't make their free throws down the line. And then the turnovers. You have to take care of the basketball if you're Texas State. If you can take care of those things, I definitely think that they'll be better for March. And I definitely think that as much as this stings, I think this is a very good experience for this team.
Of course, he also had some harsh words to say about Nedja Prijovic. And Nedja had a good game. He had 14 rebounds, a game-high 14 rebounds. He was dominating the paint, but he made some costly turnovers and some bad plays on offense and defensive and switching, and just in general, the team was kind of struggling. But that being said, here's what Coach Casper had to say about the big man, Nedja.
He did give us a great job, effort on the boards, and you know, he only got 4 points. He made a costly, costly turnover. We called a set play, and we had two options. Either he drives it, and I said, if you don't have it, look for this other option. And I was telling myself, you watch. I gave him an open door. He's going to try to drive that thing. And you know, they called an offensive foul on him. And like I told Nedja, I said, that's the kind of thing that's got to change. I didn't say you're the only option. I said, read the defense, and if you don't have it, look for the other option. And I mean to tell you, they hit him and he took off with it like it was going to be open no matter what. So this is me, my 27th year as a head coach. This is one of my most disappointing losses.
All right, guys. Y'all guys go ahead and discuss what you heard from Coach talking about Nedja.
Yeah, and Nedja's an exciting player. He's a great prospect. He's very tall. He's more athletic than he looks like he is. He's quick. He can shoot from the outside. He can board. I think it's once again a mental part of the game that the Bobcats still have to really lock down. And like Coach said there, he had a play where it was either drive if it's open or find the open guy. You're not the only option. And I guess in Nedja's way he sees the game, he saw, I got an opportunity. And coach wanted him to be more aware and find the open guy. But he did a great job on the boards. He's a big, tall presence. I think this, like you said, Alex, this is the kind of loss that it stings when it happens, but going down throughout the season, they're going to remember that and be like, hey, I don't want to lose like that again.
As long as they can put it together in the end and they can grow from this experience, like, He gave Nigel the option to either drive it or to pass it to the next man. And that's what you need to do. If you don't have that open lane, you need to pass it to the next guy. Pass it to the easiest option for the best chance to score, right? Because you're trying to win the game. So if they can focus on those little things, and again, if they can focus on being the better team in the final minutes, this is going to be a heck of a team to watch in March. I can guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be feisty. We know that for sure. They just need to listen to coach a little more maybe and be less selfish in some cases. But that being said, Reed, we're getting up to the 30 break, and that means weather time. So Coach Karen Chisholm said it was pretty cold in Jonesboro. How's it feeling in San Marcos?
Not quite the 50s at noon, but there is a little bit of a cold front coming in at the end of this weekend. It'll be in the 80s throughout the rest of this weekend, but the low tomorrow is 45, and then the rest of the week it'll be mid-70s to low 70s, high 60s, with the lows being in the 40s. So chilly mornings and really good feeling days. So for the Thanksgiving break, the weather should be great, not a big chance of rain. There's a 40% chance on Tuesday, but
this is going to be our last show until after Thanksgiving week.
Thanksgiving break's going to feel great, and I think fall is officially upon us.
Fall is officially upon us. I'm hoping you're right about that, Reed. We'll take a quick 60-second break here, and then be back with star guard for the women's basketball team, Taylor Deer. You're listening to KTSW. San Marcos.
The Writing Center at Texas State is your resource for developing your writing skills. Whether it's mastering APA, MLA, and AP formats, writing a thesis, or even brainstorming your essay, the Writing Center will assist you. The Writing Center is your creative partner for any assignment. Improve your writing skills with one-on-one tutoring. Visit the Writing Center at ASBN 100 so tutors can help you pick up where your pen drops. For more information, visit writingcenter.txstate.edu. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
You know, I wish there was a place to hear my favorite music and artists live all in one place.
You can on Other Side Drive, a show packed with DJ segments, live interviews, educational information, and live performances, all from KTSW's very own studio. Tune to KTSW 89.9 every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. and find the variety you're looking for. To put in a request, call 512-245-FIRE between 4 to 6 p.m.
Really? Tell me more, Radio Goddess.
For more information, check out KTSW.net and look under the programming tab.
All right, we are right back here with the star guard for the Texas State women's basketball team, Taylor Deer. Taylor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing really good. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join us here on Bobcat Radio. We are just going to dive right in. I'm Parker A, joined by Reed Graff and Alex Gibbs. Of course, I want to congratulate y'all on a very, very hot start to the season so far. And I know against Texas Tech, you put up 44 points. I know you remember that game. It wasn't too long ago.
It was 44 points.
It's probably a highlight or something there. But how are you feeling about going off like that? How does it feel as a player to know that everything you shoot is probably going to go in? And, you know, putting up 44 points, that's unbelievable.
It feels great to start my senior season in that way. I knew Tech was a great team, and I was ready to step up and perform at a high level.
And that you did for sure. You're not the only one dominating. The Bobcats, as a whole, y'all have been just playing dominant basketball early. You go and beat a Big 12 team, Texas Tech, by 17 points. Then you come back to Texas and just smash the Incarnate Word Cardinals 74-33. So obviously y'all are talented. Y'all have a lot of firepower. Just how good do you believe your team can be this season?
I feel we can be very good. I have confidence in my teammates. They have confidence in me. We put in a lot of work in the off season, and it's finally starting to pay off, and I think we'll do great this season.
Hey, Taylor, Alex Gibbs here. After that incredible 44-point performance, what does it say about your teammates being willing to sacrifice their shots and give you the ball when you have the hot hand in that kind of a game?
Well, my teammates have confidence in me, and I have confidence in them. When one of them have the hot hand, I'm going to keep feeding them as well. So I'm their point guard, so they know if I'm put in that position, I will try to make the right plays at the right time. And I feel like I will be there to, you know, be the best teammate to make the right plays at all times.
That's awesome, Taylor. And I want to ask you about this team as a whole as well. I know after last season, it kind of disappointing loss in the Sun Belt tournament. I know you ladies probably have a chip on your shoulder. What speak about this team and their ability to maybe bounce back from last year. And I guess the question is, are you guys playing with a chip on your shoulder?
Yes. I mean, we weren't satisfied with the way our season ended last year, and we were picked fifth in the preseason this year, and we feel like we're a greater team than fifth. And we have a championship mentality. Everybody is positive, focused every game, and we keep that same focus, same intensity every game. And we act like it's the championship every game, and that's how we need to approach every game from here on out.
Hey, Taylor, I think San Marcos is pretty hyped to have basketball back in town. I don't know if you saw any of the crowd attendance at the UTSA game, but it was awesome. They broke a record for the opening game for the men's basketball team. So obviously, we're ready for basketball. We're happy to have it back. I know y'all are still a week away from returning to San Marcos, but what are you hoping to see from the stadium and the attendance and the fans whenever y'all do make y'all's return to San Marcos?
After my 44 performance, I had a lot of, you know, phone calls. I got a lot of letters, people seeing me on campus like, yeah, I'm coming to y'all games. So I just want the fans to come, you know, cheer us on. I want us to, you know, pack the stadium, get how many fans we can. It will definitely help us out. We will appreciate it. And we love our fans, so I hope to see them there.
You know, after they say that, and they give you letters and they tweet at you, that means they have to do it. They can't just say they're going to go and not go. You have to. Now it's up to us to hold them accountable and make them go, because we will roast the fans on here if they don't come out to the games.
I've done it before. I already did it once today.
So
I got your back, Taylor.
We got your back. We got y'all's back. But anyway, Alex, you had a question?
Yeah. I have to ask, because you guys had 20 turnovers forced against Texas Tech, which is very impressive defensively. What has been the focus on defense in that game, and what will be the focus on defense for most of this season? Like, what are some of the drills? Like, what are some of the things that you guys like to focus on a lot defensively?
We're having Coach Dorsey on staff. He's really big on defense, and that's our main focus as a team. Defensively, we focus on being intense all game long, having active hands, a lot of ball pressure, and finishing out with the rebound so we can push some chains to get us some easy shots.
All right. Well, I got one more question for me, and then I'll pass it around. But I guess I want to talk about, once you get into Sun Belt play, is there a certain team you guys get amped up for in the Sun Belt Conference, or is there a certain player that you like going against that maybe kind of brings the best out of you within the Sun Belt?
I'd say our biggest, you know, Sun Belt rival would be UTA and Lafayette, because they're two of the top teams in our conference. They have great players, so we know we have to perform at a high level when we face them, and they bring the best out of us.
All right, Taylor, I don't know if you've ever listened to our show before when we interview players, but I like to do this thing where I ask the players what they listen to pregame, because obviously everyone likes to get hyped up with something. We all did it when we played athletics. We all jammed, I don't know, whatever you jammed, but what do you listen to when you're getting ready for a game? What gets you pumped up and ready to go dominate and put up 44 points against a Big 12 school?
I listen to some Migos, 21 Savage, and... Okay. Young Dolph, they really get me amped up before the game. So
solid.
So yeah. So no Post Malone thrown in there?
Yeah, just, Gabe Lloyd listened to I Fall Apart by Post Malone. That's his go-to.
I don't know why that pumped him up, but it did. I'm not poking fun at Gabe Lloyd. He's a big guy. He could kill us all. But anyway, yeah. So that's good. That's a good list, Taylor. We approved that list.
That's a solid list.
Is what we're saying. We're just kind of yabbering now.
And you know, Taylor, I have to ask, with that 44-point performance, with the defensive pressure that we've seen in these first two games, and with the win against like a Big 12 opponent, just the way you guys have started just playing dominant in these first two games, I have to ask, what does that say about the clubhouse and the feel and the expectations that you guys have for yourselves for the rest of the season after performances like that?
Now I feel like everybody's going to come for us because we have beat a Big 12 team, but we can't be complacent. We have to, you know, be focused, keep the intensity every game. We know people are going to bring the pressure. They see that we are, you know, winning now. So we know what's coming for us. We know what we have to do as a team. And we just want to stick to our game plan. Our coaches prepare as well. So just being focused, being intense, and always pushing and pushing through adversity and staying focused, staying together through everything.
All right, Taylor, I heard the men's basketball team needs another scorer. Is there any chance you can suit up for them anytime soon?
No.
No comment? Yeah. All right, that's good. That's probably safe. I don't want to get you in trouble there. Anyway, Alex is going to have rapid-fire questions. They're going to be these five really fast questions. They're going to be intense. They're going to be hard-hitting. Are you ready, Taylor?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Which teammate on your team would be the main star in a reality TV show?
The main star. I would say Xandra.
Okay. And my second question, what was your favorite movie as a kid?
What was the movie with the twins and they went to the Bahamas?
Is it
Mary Kate and Ashley?
Parent Trap.
I think it is Parent Trap.
Is that what it is?
Where they lose them?
No, they went to the Bahamas on a big slide.
A Mary Kate and Ashley movie.
Okay.
Yeah. The only reason why I know this is because my sister was like a huge fan of them growing up.
Well, Alex probably watched the movie too, right? I mean,
Alex's sister was a big fan.
No, it's probably a good movie. I got to check it out. I mean, hey. But anyway, Alex, continue.
Third question.
Get back on track.
Are you a cat or a dog person?
Oh.
A dog for sure.
Okay. There was a right answer to that question.
Normally there isn't.
And then
I used to be scared of dogs though, but now I'm going to love them.
Going to the dog side.
Last two questions. On Thanksgiving, what's your favorite thing to eat besides the turkey?
The macaroni and the yams.
Ooh,
okay.
Solid. I like it.
And then last but not least, since we have Thanksgiving coming around next week, I have to ask, even though it's cheesy, what are you most thankful for?
Aw.
I'm most thankful for my family and my friends and my supporters. And God, for sure.
Heck yeah. We appreciate that. And Taylor, we're going to let you go, but we want you to give a shout-out to Bobcat Nation before we part ways.
Okay, shout-out to Bobcat Nation. Thank you for everything.
All right, Taylor, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right, that was Taylor Deere. I think when I said shout-out, I think she legitimately thought it was a shout-out. Like I should have said, do you want any final words? But she gave a shout out.
She nailed it anyway.
That's a soundbite anyway, and we'll take it. Anything, guys, you want to take away from that interview before we dive back into other stuff?
If watching her play basketball doesn't get you into the stands at home games, I don't know what will. She's exciting. She can drop 40 at any moment. Like she's that type of player. And this is a very good team. Early, they have just been dominant. They've been just great out the gates, and she's a big part of that. She's a senior leader. She's from the Houston area. She's gonna be a fun player to watch, and it's gonna be a fun season for them.
Yeah, and I love what she talked about as far as whoever has the hot hand in any game. Her and her teammates are willing to sacrifice and give the ball to them when they have the hot hand. That right there shows maturity, and it shows that I'm not in this to be the star. I'm only in this for the team. I'm in this to win this thing. And I definitely think it says a lot about her maturity. And obviously, when anyone's going to be scoring 44 points... Yeah, they're going to be having the handle out. What the heck are you guys talking about over there?
We just saw a tweet from Andrew.
I'm trying to get all serious here. You guys are like
We saw a tweet from Andrew.
Why don't you read this real quick?
No. I want Reed to say it out loud, and I want Alex to react.
Okay.
Okay.
So Andrew Zimmel is
the host of the Wednesday show. He is a Twitter comedian. He said, in quotations, slowest blazing five this side of Venus, in quotations, needs to be the way we introduce Alex's segment.
Oh my god!
It's not really rapid fire, you gotta admit. It's more of a slow blaze.
It's a slow blaze.
This side of Venus, who comes up with this stuff?
Cooking up that turkey slow. and hot. You know what? That's okay.
Alex is going to take the high road.
We get good answers. We get good answers.
He's a better man than I am.
I would have taken a shot there, Alex. You sure you don't want to take a shot back at Andrew?
I'm good. We have a better show anyways.
Oh, okay. There's a shot right there. He's just a backhanded shot. Okay, we'll take it.
Back on the rails. Come on, people.
All right. Like well, we need to continue. We need to continue to... I want to go back to... I want to kind of circle back around to Texas State football a little bit. Maybe basketball or football, guys. You decide. You want to do basketball or you want to do football? I mean, it's up for the air. I have stuff for both.
We can touch on both real quick. I mean, on the...
I kind of want to see... Okay, so Texas State, they play Arkansas State tomorrow. What are some key players that maybe you guys have picked up that Arkansas State, that maybe Texas State needs to look out for?
Yeah, Arkansas State has a dude by the name of Javon Roland Jones. He is a senior. He's a redshirt senior. He's from Mesquite, Texas. He's currently has 9 sacks on the season. And, I mean, this kid's award list is ridiculous. He's on the Bednarik Award watch list. He's on the Bronco Nagurski watch list. He's ranked as the number one NFL recruit in the Sun Belt. Just a solid kid. Big dude, 6'2", 244. The Bobcats haven't faced a pass rusher like this season, so it'll be interesting to see how he matches up with the freshman left tackle, Nick Foster. So that'll be an interesting one. They also have a pretty good quarterback. You want to take us through him?
Yeah, their quarterback for Arkansas State is Justice Hansen. He has 2,444 yards with 27 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. But looking at his rushing guys and receiving guys, he's got guys like, Warren Wand, who has 306 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And then you have, Chris Murray, who has 34 receiving catches, 470 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So they have a very balanced and a very... They have an offense that can gain a lot of
yards
on both sides.
They're a very good team.
I mean, ESPN has Texas State at a 4.3% chance to win this game. So I'll be honest, I'm not confident.
Maybe we'll be like the underdogs at the Sun Belt volleyball tournament and pull this one out. You never know.
You never know.
Let's hope.
And then they'll go watch the
Damian Williams had a good, even though they lost to Georgia State last week, Damian Williams did have a pretty good performance.
He's thrown for 300 yards in his past 2 games. Like, he's thrown for 300 yards in both of them. So, he's hot right now. Hopefully it carries. Tyler Watts had a great game last week. Finally broke out. I wasn't calling him out earlier. I was more of just picking a random player and telling him.
Yeah, you just said one.
Tyler Watts is a fantastic player, and I've been waiting for him to break out all season long, as I know he was capable of it.
Hey, the fact that he stuck out, it means he's just that good, right, Reed? He stuck out to you. And
see, my plan was to say a player that no one knows, but I don't even know them, so I had to go with someone that everyone knows.
Someone that no one knows, therefore you didn't even know.
So I had to go with someone that everyone
knows. Oh, my gosh, this is a great strategy. Of course, okay, well, we're just kidding. That this game will kick off at 2 p.m. You can hear the pregame at 1:45 p.m. right here on KTSW San Marcos. Again, that's Texas State taking on Arkansas State Red Wolves. Texas State's 2-8, looking to pull off a miracle. 4% chance they can win, according
to
ESPN. 4% chance. I like
those.
Let's
do it.
Yeah, why not?
So you're saying there's a chance. All right.
I'm saying there's a chance.
So that being said, I kind of want to regroup, change direction, do a 180, go to San Marcos football, which me and Brendan Snow will be calling tonight. It's a playoff game. They are in the playoffs. They look pumped. They look ready to go. Me and Brendan Snow sat down with Jamon Johnson, the running back, Wednesday after practice, and here's what he had to say about playing with his team and what makes this team special.
It's very emotional for not only the team, but, I mean, the fans, the community, everybody, because, I mean, last year it was kind of embarrassing for them to come here and beat us that bad and for us to come back and get our revenge. That was just something special. The thing is about from last year and this year, I think this group of kids, I think we work harder and, you know, we're more focused than more than just going to the playoffs. We're thinking about state and, like, we are on the same path. Like, we all have the same mindset of, you know, going further than the playoffs.
Of course, last year they got knocked out by Stony Point. This year they are taking on Round Rock Westwood, and they are looking to beat those guys. And it's going to be a home game in San Marcos. So this is kind of what the bonus is, playing in front of that San Marcos crowd. Jamon Johnson speaks on that as well.
I mean, we're definitely more confident playing at home because, I mean, we're behind a whole bunch of fans, and the crowd behind us is cheering us on. So for us to be home, I mean, that's special as well, because when we're away, you know, we usually have tough games. We're home, it's like we're up and going. Well, I love my offensive line. I mean, they work really hard, and I know, I mean, they're not the biggest, but they still work, and running behind them is sometimes it can be frustrating, but, I mean, I love them because they do work really hard to, you know, create space for where I could break a big one. So I'm really thankful for them.
All right, we are up to the 50 break, and I got to tell you guys about the University Bookstore. Bobcat Radio is sponsored by the University Bookstore, located on the second floor of the LBJ Student Center. The University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. More info at bookstore.txstate.edu or at 245-2273. When we come back, we'll dive into some pro talk, anything that's kind of on our mind around the professional leagues we will talk about and discuss right here on KTSW San Marcos.
22% of college students experience cyberbullying, according to counseling.org. Cyberbullying can leave its victims with a damaged self-image and a damaged online reputation. It can occur through text, social media, online forums, gaming, and other platforms. Even though legislation has been passed concerning cyberbullying, the San Marcos community can do even more to further prevent it. To play your part, go to stopbullying.gov/cyberbullying for information and handouts. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Now, crew, release the trap.
And the Snapchat ghost is really...
Enter the Vortex host, Jenny J. Dang it!
Jenny J wanted people to follow KTSW on Snapchat at KTSW_899. But what she didn't know is that us cool kids already do.
The snaps are straight from the studio, so we're clued in on sweet behind-the-mic content, other side drive contests, request blocks, and live shows.
That's KTSW_899. Just another mystery solved by...
The Boo Crew!
All right, we are back in this, the final 10 minutes of the show.
Parker.
What?
This would have been...
What do you want, Reed?
I want to talk about... Okay. This would have been where I would have gone on my Aaron Judge rant, but since Altuve won, we're okay.
Who's Judge again?
He's a pretty good ball player, Parker.
No. Aaron Judge. Thought you were talking about Judge Judy. Anyway.
That's such a cheap show.
I am a cheap guy. I eat ramen noodles. Very cheap. Anyway,
what are we doing here?
Reed, is there anything going on in professionals that you want to talk about? I know that Jose Altuve guy won an MVP. You may want to talk about that. You may want to talk about anything going on. Just let loose.
Well, Altuve wins MVP as he should have. I will only dive into the stats if someone comes at me, which I don't see any need to right now. He was the MVP. He won it. By a wide margin, because the voters knew who the winner was. Aaron Judge is a great player, and I'm not taking anything away from him, but he wasn't the MVP. And the ALCS will prove that. Jumping into the NFL, Dallas Cowboys are in bad shape. Sean Lee is hurt. Tyron Smith is out.
Welcome to the club. Ezekiel Elliott is suspended. Been in bad shape for a while.
And we have to go play the best team in the NFL. So that's going to be a lot of...
Arguably.
Nope, that's not arguably. That's going to be a lot
of... Record-wise, they're the best.
They're the best.
Record-wise, yes.
Carson Wentz is a strong MVP candidate, but that's another that's another debate. The Spurs coming off a disappointing loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves, but they have been playing well other than
that. When is Kawhi coming back? That's the big question.
He's not. It's a prank. He is retired. He's Tim Dunking it.
He's just like, I'm out.
I'm done.
What if he just straight up said in a press conference, I don't like playing basketball anymore.
I just don't enjoy
it. What would you do?
I'd be like, it doesn't surprise me. He never smiles. How do you know how you're supposed to know?
I feel like Riley would be more upset, probably.
He never smiles. How are you supposed to know if he enjoys it? I mean,
I don't know. He doesn't seem like he's having a good time.
And all honestly, once Kawhi gets back, the Spurs will right the ship. I mean, they're 9-6. It's not like they're having
I mean, they're right there, right? I mean, you got the Rockets and the Warriors and the Spurs are right up there.
Yeah, I think once we get Kawhi back, we're hanging with all these great teams that we don't even have our best player. So they're going to be all right. I mean, they had won two in a row before that against Chicago and Dallas, so it's not like they were playing bad. But as far as the sports world that I care about, that is where we stand. Alex, you got anything to talk about?
I'm surprised when you mentioned NFL. I'm surprised you didn't mention your Houston Texans taking on the Cardinals.
Oh, no, that's me. That's my team.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I'm just an Astros fan.
You're just an Astros fan.
I like the Texans. What was that?
I'm not sure what that was.
You jinxed us bad.
I just wanted to play that.
Oh, I thought somebody randomly got.
I didn't see an opportunity. That was like the only chance I thought I could
what?
Do.
What?
I am, I'm...
So anyway, yeah, you want to talk about the Texans, I'll tell you about the Texans.
Why don't you dive into it?
Yeah.
Your Wonder Boy.
Yeah, so Tom Savage is a terrible QB. I think he's worse than Brock Osweiler. I don't think... No. I think he's worse than Brock Osweiler. I think he's going to go down as the worst QB to ever suit up for the Texans, and they've had a lot.
They've had some bad quarterbacks.
But look at the skill level. He doesn't look like he belongs on an NFL field. I mean, he doesn't... He looks down one receiver. You're supposed to change. You're supposed to check the progression.
Progression.
You're supposed to look. He can't move at all. If the ball has to be thrown over 15 to 20 yards, not going to happen with him. It's going to be thrown out of bounds, more likely. He has 50 yards. The field is like 53 yards wide, right?
Yeah.
You think he would be able to keep it within the hash?
I got a question for you. This is a good debate. Why didn't y'all sign Colin Kaepernick?
Why didn't we sign Colin? Oh my gosh! Well, first off, Bob McNair, don't think he's
too friendly on Colin Kaepernick.
I mean, this is the same guy.
So you went out and signed Josh Johnson, who hasn't played in the NFL for like 3 years.
Yeah, but he's not an inmate running the prison. So
that's true.
Yeah, there you go. That's how Bob McNair feels. I'm just telling you how Bob McNair feels. He's a very conservative owner, and he's been like that for as long as I've been a Texans fan. And Jerry Jones is right up there too. Did you know Jerry Jones is suing the NFL or trying to? And I think it's over. It's over Zeke, but I think it's over the national anthem too. I think it might be a few things.
I think it's mostly Zeke though, because he wasn't planning on suing him until Zeke gets suspended. Then all of a sudden,
may have pushed it, but he was probably disappointed with the league for a while. I mean, you could tell during the protest he wasn't too happy with what the Cowboys decided to end up doing. Jerry Jones was kind of like, you know, he was bitterly doing it, but still. There's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL that's the political, but I want to get back to the Texans. They're going to struggle. This year is over. I want to actually talk about the Rockets. James Harden went off again. They ended up scoring 142 points against the Phoenix Suns, the worst defense in the league. I'll grant you that. But they had 90 points at halftime. You want to know how many points the Golden State Warriors had all night last night? 88. Rockets outscored the Golden State Warriors in one half.
Who'd they play?
I don't want to say. It's the Phoenix Suns. I already said it was a bad team. But still, 90 points and a half is 90.
Golden State play?
They played Boston.
Okay, then.
But Golden State's supposed to be really good. It's supposed to be superior, better than anybody else. The fact that Boston beat them shows me something about Boston, first off. Boston may be the best team in the Eastern.
I think Boston
the best team in the Eastern Conference.
They're a lot better than I think some people, than a lot of people think. Because I tell you, well... And here's the other thing. I mean, we'll see once the playoffs gets around, because obviously we know it's Cleveland versus Boston for the best team arguably in the Eastern Conference. Cleveland's been struggling past couple weeks.
Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Joel Embiid is a stud. Lonzo Ball does not belong in the NBA.
Joel Embiid reminds me of a combination of Shaquille O'Neal and Hakeem Olajuwon.
Big baller bust.
Because he's a beast like Shaquille O'Neal. He can throw people around. He's a freak of nature physically. But he has the moves and agility like Hakeem. And he can shoot free throws like Hakeem. And he shoots way better than Shaq ever did from the outside.
I mean, Shaq's only talent was elbowing people and dunking.
Yeah.
So,
and you look at
I will stand by
that. And you look at his dream shake. And actually, Joel Embiid actually ended up saying, I heard from like Around the Horn on ESPN, he ended up saying that he actually watched film on Hakeem when he was struggling. And that actually made him play better. I'm like, if you're watching film on Hakeem,
you're doing something right.
And you're actually able to copy the moves Akeem's doing, because most people watch film on Hakeem and they're like, oh yeah, I can't do that.
Nope.
So
to me, every day, every sport I watch ever.
I try to be Hakeem. I try to do dream shit.
My biggest thing, from professional, just in the past couple of days, Giancarlo Stanton obviously winning the NL MVP.
Goldie got robbed.
Definitely. Well, you know what?
No,
with
it,
how
was,
many
was,
home runs that he...
Oh, my
goodness.
Hey, I'm not complaining about the MVP
that.
Votes.
And then, yeah, and I couldn't... I don't disagree with the American
Let's not talk
League
about guys
MVP.
Winning MVPs because they only hit home runs. Let's not... We'll offend people.
Anyways.
You don't want to do that.
I think it's kind of beautiful and kind of, you know, ironic in a way, because when Jose Altuve and when the Astros first burst onto the scene, they were like Aaron Judge. They were either swinging for the fences or they were striking out. And they eventually learned to adapt, and now they're World Series champions with him being MVP. So I tell you what, it's really, really interesting, and it does make you think about Aaron Judge. If this guy can really get it together and not only hit home runs but get extra base hits with runners in scoring position,
oh, he'll
this guy's going to be one
he'll win his
heck
fair
of
share
a player.
MVPs. But he's going to have to wait until Altuve quits.
But for this year.
Or Altuve move, or the Astros move back to the National League and Altuve goes with them and stuff. That'd be the only chance.
But for this year.
But that being said.
Altuve's definitely
right now, the
it.
Best player in the world is the 5'6" Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to end the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, I guess we will. But actually, we have 20 seconds left, guys. We can't just end the show on that. That's not how we're ending the
that
show.
That was such a good exit.
That's not how
it.
We're ending the show, guys. Okay, so final takes. Who wins the Western Conference?
Spurs.
Golden State.
Rockets. Who wins the Eastern Conference?
I don't know. I don't follow basketball.
I'm
going to
go Boston.
Celtics.
I'm going to go Boston, too, actually. All right, that's it.